How many of you here would like to have a giant reset button? We could just hit reset and start over. You know, people have been saying for months, like, oh, if we just get through 2020 and just make it to the new year, then everything will be better. Yeah. As if flipping the calendar is going to make a huge change in society. But we think, oh, what are we going to do? We get so overwhelmed when you start watching the news and start seeing where our world is, where our country is. It's really easy to get overwhelmed. Times like that. Because as we're continually reminded in all the commercials on TV, we are in unprecedented times. Right? That's what all the commercials say. These trying times. But you see, we've got to remember that none of this is a surprise to God. He doesn't get surprised like we do. But I know it's really easy for us as humans to get overwhelmed and to feel like we don't know what we can do. But I think the word to us very simply how we can overcome that. So if you have your Bible, you turn to Hebrews chapter 12. That's our main text for today. Before we read this, blessed are you, Lord God. Father, you are great, you are powerful, you are mighty, O Lord. You are also loving and merciful, God. Blessed be your holy name. We praise you today. We magnify you in this place today, Lord God. We exalt you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you will increase in this place even more. And I pray, God, that you allow us to decrease. God, I know that I have a plan, I have notes, I have an agenda, but God, you take precedence. So, Father, I want your will to be done. And this service today, this building today, in our lives today, God, just as it is in heaven. Because, Father, we know that you are ultimately the one in control. And, Father, we don't ever want to get ahead of you. We don't ever want to fall behind you, Lord. But we want to be in step with you, God. So, Father, we give you complete control. Because, God, we come expecting to receive something from you today. Because we know that you have something you want to share with us. So God, whatever you choose to share with us today, we come to receive from you, God. We pray, Lord, that you open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, Father, so that we can receive what your Holy Spirit has for us today. Let our thoughts, our opinions, our personality get pushed to the side, God. We want you to be in complete control. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the wonderful time of worship we had today, Lord. Thank you for such encouragement, such edification that we receive when we're able to worship together in one choir, in one body. Because, God, we know that we can listen to worship music, and we can watch videos and see people play music and all that, all different kinds of worship, God, but there's just nothing like worshiping together with other believers. It's just not the same. So, God, we thank you that you gave us an opportunity, Lord, to worship together. Because even though we come to worship, and all our worship is to give to you, God, we end up receiving from you. Because you are a giver. saying this morning, God, you are good. Your word tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from you, Lord. It says there is no shadow of turning in you. You don't ever wake up in a bad mood, God. You don't ever get cranky. You don't ever get mad. God, you are loving and caring and graciousness. Father, thank you so much. We thank you that, God, that your behavior towards us is not determined by our behavior towards you. You don't withhold gifts from us when we get cranky. But God, you are loving and caring. You are compassionate to us, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord. We get so easily distracted as human beings, God. But you are always there, waiting to receive us back with open arms. Thank you so much, God. For you are good. We praise you and magnify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So Hebrews chapter 12. Now before we start reading chapter 12, flip back one page and we'll read the last couple of verses of chapter 11 so that we have it in proper context, okay? Verse 39, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry for those of you that are taking notes. Normally, you know, when you take notes, I know most normal people put the title of the message at the top. I'm not really smart enough to come up with a title, so it doesn't have to be my title. So I apologize up front for not having a wonderful title. So, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Now, we know Hebrews chapter 11, if you read the whole chapter, he goes on and on about, we call it the Hall of Faith. It talks about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Moses and the faith of Joshua and the faith of the Israelites and all these. And he lists all these things in chapter 11, verse 39. He says that all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. He's talking about Jesus. Chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, I think what he shows us in Scripture here is when we get to the point where we feel so overwhelmed and we just want to have that reset button we can hit, let's just start over. He shows us how we can overcome that. Because I don't know about you, but I know there are days when my alarm goes off in the morning and I turn it off and I pick up my to-do list and the first thing on the list is get out of bed, and I say, I don't want to do that. Let me roll over and try it again tomorrow. But see, if you ever feel that way like I do, we're in luck because the Word tells us how to overcome that. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12. The first point he gives us, he says, look unto Jesus. Some other translations say, fix your eyes on Jesus or focus your eyes on Jesus. And we think, well, that sounds simple enough. But actually, it takes deliberate action on our part to focus our attention on Him. Because you see, if you're going to fix your gaze on one thing, that means you have to take it off of something else. Because think about all the things in life that claim to fulfill us the way only Jesus can. Things like money, success, power, affection, education. Each of these claim to fulfill us. Because think, how many people have not thought, you know, if I was just rich, all my problems would go away. If I just had more money, everything would fall into place. Or we think, you know, if I just got that promotion, if I just become the manager, then my life would be complete. People would respect me. You think, how great would it be if I could be the boss and I could just tell other people what to do all the time? You think, oh, if I could just marry that one perfect woman, all my problems would be over. Or we think, just one more college degree, I'll have all the answers. If I just had a title behind my name, then everything would fall into place. But you see, when we take our focus off of Christ and put our focus on one of these things, before we know it, we realize that they don't give us what they promise they will. We put all of our energy into getting more money. Soon we realize that everyone has their handout. And all of a sudden you realize that if you have more money, it just means you have more problems. And you never really know if people really won't enjoy being around you or if they're just there because they think they can get something from you. We think, oh, you finally get that promotion. And then you realize that that promotion means that you never really clocked out. That your phone rings all the time. Suddenly you finally become the boss and you're able to tell people what to do. And you realize that everybody's coming to you asking you what to do. And they rely on you for their livelihood. You finally marry that woman in your dreams. And before long you realize why the movie ends when they ride off in the sunset. Because before you know it, there's hair everywhere. See, I've been married for over 20 years, and we've raised two daughters. So at one point, there was three women in our house. I was having to give our vacuum cleaner a haircut like once a month because of all the hair is sucked. It's like, how are these people not bald? But see, we think that we have all this figured out. We think that these things will fulfill us. But Jesus reminds us himself in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, he says that if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So you see, we have to make a decision to look away from the world, to look away from all these other things and look to Jesus. Because as the Word tells us, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches, according to Philippians 4. We must look to Jesus and humble ourselves that he will exalt us, according to James 4. We must look to Jesus for our love and affection. Because as Romans 8 tells us, neither height nor depth nor anything in creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Because as Colossians 1:16 says, for it was in him that all things were created. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood. Ephesians 1:11, in him we were also made God's heritage, and and we obtain an inheritance. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you were stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Colossians 2:3, in Him all the treasures of divine wisdom and spiritual knowledge and enlightenment. In Colossians 2:10, and you are in Him made full and having come to the fullness of life. See, all that is only available to us when we choose to focus our eyes on Him. So if you get to a point in your life when you just want to hit the reset button, move your sights off of the things of the world and focus on Him. Like He tells us in Hebrews, He says, when we focus our eyes on Jesus, it calls Him the author and finisher of our faith. I thought that was interesting that He used the word author. Sometimes that word is also translated as creator of our faith. We have to understand that Jesus is the creator of our faith. He wasn't God's plan B. He wasn't the one that God had to send in like the relief pitcher in the seventh inning, send in to clean the game up. No, the word says that He was there from the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Revelations 13, 8 says that the book of life of the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Jesus Himself tells us in John 8:58, He says, before Abraham was, I am. You see, He was involved in creation, and He knew from the very beginning that He would have to come, and He would have to be the sacrifice for us. We have to trust that. But if you think about the word author, it also implies a narrative story of redemption, which, as we can see, is woven all throughout human history, all throughout Scripture. We see the story of Jesus woven through. Perfect example is the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. As we see, Joseph was arrested for a crime that he didn't commit. He spent time in jail and then was exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh. In the same way, Jesus was arrested for no crime, spent 3 days in the grave and was exalted to the right hand of God. Every single book in the Bible shows the influence of Jesus Christ. He's just like that one peppermint in your bag of Halloween candy that taints all the chocolate and gives it that minty flavor. See, I don't really like minty chocolate myself, so I have to take my parent tax from the kids' candy early on before it all gets that flavor. But even my own life, as I look back on different events and different times in my life, I can see the little details that the author included in my story. Because think about it, our lives are made up of chapters. Just like a storybook. Some of our chapters are happy, and some of them are sad. Some of them seem really long, while others just fly by. But see, we have to trust that the author knows how to finish that story. And can finish it at the right time. Psalm 139:16 says, all my days were written in your book before one of them came to be. You know, the only thing that's worse than watching a bad movie is watching a good movie but having to start in the middle. We have to understand the beginning in order to fully see it. So we have to trust that Jesus is the author of our faith. The author of our story. You see, if we really want to be able to have that reset button, we fix our eyes on Him, and we trust that He is the author of our faith. Since He was involved from the beginning, He knows the story. But the verse goes on and says, not only is He the author of our faith, but He's the finisher of our faith. Some translations say He's the perfecter of our faith. We know that Jesus doesn't do anything halfway. That's one weakness that I have myself, is I have a tendency to get my projects about 90% complete. And then I kind of lose steam, and that's kind of the end of it. Our house is full of 90% complete projects.
Yes.
I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't do that. The Bible tells us, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him until that day. For if we see Him as the author of our story, we must also trust Him as the one who closes our story. There's nothing worse than watching a great movie that has a terrible ending.
That's so true.
We have to trust that He knows the end from the beginning. Like Tony Stark says in Avengers Endgame, part of the journey is the end. No story is complete without the end. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that is the judgment. So you see, one day, the chapter of our story on this earth will end. The question is, how will we face Him on that day? Will you weep and wail, begging for more time, because you're not ready to leave the earth? Will you be like that one kid in school that got so busy playing video games that he forgot to do his homework? So he's sweating in his seat in the back, just waiting for the teacher to call his name, knowing he doesn't have anything to turn in? Or will you be like that nerd on the front row that has a book report that's twice as long as it's required to be, with the laminated cover and everything? Because one of these days, just like that teacher, one of these days, Jesus is going to call our name. The question is, will you be able to say on that day that you fixed your eyes on Him and you trusted Him as the author and as the finisher of your faith? Seems like a simple enough question, doesn't it? And I think, yeah, you know, most people that are in church on Sunday morning would probably answer yes. Yes, I've fixed my eyes on Him. Yes, He is my Lord. He is my Savior. And I think that's wonderful. But see, unfortunately, there are some people that will answer no to that question. Some people that are not ready to meet Him. But just as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, not only are we new creation in Christ Jesus, and that old things have passed away, all things are made new. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we think, if I was called home today, I feel confident that I know that I'm saved, that I know that I will spend eternity with Him. But see, we all know people that are not ready for that. So then the question becomes, are we being those ambassadors for Christ that He's called us to be? Does God plead through us for others to be reconciled to Him? That's the question. Because once we get saved, we begin to realize that it's not about us. Salvation is wonderful. Salvation is the ultimate gift. But you have to remember, salvation is the first step into the relationship with God. The first step into the calling that God has given us. So it's important that we keep ourselves in a place where our eyes are fixed on Jesus. And that we keep our trust in Him as the author and as the finisher of our faith. But the next step is for us to be ambassadors for Christ and to be used by God to expand His kingdom, however He chooses to do that. Because too many Christians in the world think that, well, I got myself saved and my family saved and we're okay. And then everybody else, it's up to the pastor to get them saved. All I'm required to do is invite them to church, and if they come, then hopefully the pastor gets them saved. But see, we've been called to live the life in front of these people. So that God is pleading through us. But you see, if we're running around crazy and getting all overwhelmed by what's going on in the world, just like everybody else, what makes us any different? What benefit is there to the Christian faith if we get just as upset as everybody else? If we lose our sanity just as fast as everybody else? See, we're expected to live our life by the fact that He is the author of our faith, that He is the one in control of our life. So you think, if you ask me the question, if I have my focus on Christ, I'd probably say yeah. And most people, they know that that's supposed to be the right answer, so they would probably say yeah. But then if you start asking, okay, does your life reflect that? Do your coworkers know that you're a believer? Do your family members know that you're a believer? Do your neighbors know that you're a believer? Do they know that there's something different about you? There's something different about your life that they don't quite understand? If the answer to that is no, then I suggest you really take a hard look at your life. Because if we're getting just as wound up as everybody else, if we're freaking out just like the world is, then we're not putting our trust in Him, are we? But see, it's so easy to get distracted because we have such an availability of information these days. And everything is so in your face and everything is just so aggressive that it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to focus on what the news is saying or what's going on in local elections or what have you. But that's why we have to make a concerned effort to keep our focus on Christ. Because if we don't, then we're just like the world. So I just want to encourage you today, take an honest look at your life. And ask yourself, is my focus on Jesus? Am I trusting Him as the author and the finisher of my story? And ask God, if the answer to that is not no or not yes, then ask God, what do I need to do to get my heart right, to get my life right? It's like the verse that Shelley shared just a minute ago. The word says that if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. And forgive your sins and give them back. So you see, we have a part to play. We have to make decisions. We have to do things in order for God to be able to fulfill His part. So if you would stand with me this morning. Some of us that can't honestly answer yes to that. There's probably some of us, Lord, that would have to answer, I don't know. Some that, completely honest with the Lord, would have to answer, no, that you're not the center of my life. So God, we ask right now, Father, that you would show us individually, Lord God, show us what we need to change in our life. Father, your word tells us, Lord, that if we need wisdom and understanding to ask you, and you give generously, Lord. We're standing on that promise today, God, that you're going to show us what we need to do. Father, if we need to accept you as Savior, God, show us that. Father, if we've fallen away from you, if we've gotten distracted by the world or gotten distracted by the things the world tries to offer us, God, show us what those things are. Show us what we need to do to eliminate those distractions, God. Father, we pray that you give us simple steps that we can take to remove our distractions and to put our focus upon you. Whatever that may be, Lord God. Because, Father, as we were saying this morning, we know that you are good. And we know that you want to give good gifts to us. And you want to give us, you want to bless us, and you want to help us, Lord. So, Father, we're coming and we're asking for your help. Help us to not be distracted by this world. Help us to not get pulled away like so many others are. Help us to keep our focus on you, Lord. Father, I pray that whatever those distractions are, that you give us the courage to make those decisions. You give us the strength to maintain those changes that you give us. God, we know that there's nothing fancy about changing the calendar. We're a little late for New Year's resolutions, Lord, so we know that there's no better day than today to make a change in our life, to bring us closer to you, Lord. So, Father, we just pray that you give us the courage and the strength to make those changes in our life that are necessary. Make it glaringly obvious to us, Lord, on what changes we need to make. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for the love that you showed to us on the cross. We thank you for the love that you showed to us every day, Lord God. We thank you, as Paul says, for pleading through others so that each of us can know your gospel story and have the opportunity to accept you as Savior. We praise you. We magnify you. We exalt you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your presence with us. We thank you for all that you do and for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for being so gracious to me and not leaving in the middle of this. So, don't forget the Tuesday morning prayer at Sweet Jordan's. The movie night, the 22nd. The women's fellowship on the 4th, and raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken, Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Finish.